Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Acclaimed author Isabel Allende's new novel is more than just fiction. It's based on real political events in Chile that forever altered history and the life of the author herself. Titled A Long Petal of the Sea, the story begins during the Spanish Civil War. Victor is a medic trying to help those injured fighting for the Republic against Francisco Franco and the Nationalists. Roser is a burgeoning pianist and is pregnant with the child of Victor's brother. The two are brought together as the Republican forces in Spain collapse. Forced to flee, Roser and Victor begin a marriage of necessity in order to secure passage to Chile on a ship chartered by the poet Pablo Neruda, who had been given the post of special consul for immigration in Chile. As Roser and Victor struggle to start a new life, political unrest in Chile threatens to turn them into refugees once more, unrest that caused Isabel herself to flee from Chile to Venezuela back in 1973. Isabel Allende is a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She'll be speaking tonight at the 92nd Street Y, and her new book, A Long Petal of the Sea, is available now. And we are so pleased to welcome Isabel to All of It. Welcome.
Thank you, Alison.
Now, this novel is interesting. When I first read a passage about it, I thought, Civil War, Spanish Civil War to 94? That's such an enormous amount of time. So what did you want to achieve by making this a decades-long epic, rather than just focusing on either the Spanish Civil War or the time in Chile?
I wanted to tell the story of this couple, Victor and Roser, that they start very young in the Civil War in Spain, and the Civil War explains why they become refugees. So it was very important to begin the book with the Civil War. And then I follow them in their odyssey across two oceans to come to Chile, their lives in Chile, and what happens in their second exile, which is like the circles close as if you live long enough to see them closing. And you also see how history repeats itself. The circumstances of the first exile are very similar to the circumstances of the second exile many, many years later. So you wonder, do we progress at all, or are we stuck in the same place?
Now, you introduce us to Victor first in the opening pages with a story about his time during the war. Let me read a little bit of that for our audience. Victor Dalmu thought he had seen everything, become immunized to the suffering of others, but he had never seen an actual beating heart. What did you want to let us know about Victor?
First of all, that he is resourceful and brave in many ways, a quiet man, and that he has seen terrible things, including a beating heart in his hands, because at a certain moment he touches the heart. So that would explain much of his character later in the book. Also, the heart for me symbolizes in the book renewal. It's a heart that comes back to life. And the theme of the heart is all along the book. And maybe unconsciously, I also wanted to touch the heart of the reader.
Victor's based on a real person you met. Is that true?
Yes. When I was living in Venezuela as a political refugee myself, many, many Chileans left Chile and many came to Venezuela. And there I met another refugee, and his name was Victor Pey Casados. And he had been one of the original refugees from the Civil War in Spain that arrived in Chile in 1939. And then he had to go into exile a second time.
You write so beautifully and hauntingly about refugees. I want to read a little bit. I think it strikes a chord today for obvious reasons, because there are refugees all around the world. You write, hundreds of thousands of terrified refugees were escaping to France, where a campaign of fear and hatred awaited them. Nobody wanted these foreigners, Reds, filthy fugitives, deserters, delinquents, as the French press labeled them, repugnant beings who were going to spread epidemics, commit robberies and rape, and stir up a communist revolution. For 3 years, there had been a trickle of Spaniards escaping the war. There was little sympathy for them, but they were dispersed throughout France and were almost invisible. As you were writing about these refugees, how much of what's going on in the world today was having an impact on what you wrote?
My last three novels deal with refugees, with migrants, with people who are displaced, because this is something that is in the air. It's a global tragedy. Mm-hmm. And of course, it affects me particularly, first because I've lived it, not in those tragic circumstances, of course, and also because I have a foundation that works with refugees in the border, in the southern border of the United States. So I can see the plight of these people. Once you see their face, you learn their name, you hear their story, everything changes. They are not numbers or statistics. They are human beings, people. We could be one of them. Our children could be in a detention center.
What is something, it's interesting that you mentioned the way the French press were demonizing these humans and making them others. What's something you've seen in the press now that if you could change it, if you could get these reporters and editors in the room and say, you need to stop reporting these refugee stories this way, what would it be?
Well, it would be learn the stories, mm-hmm. and find the causes. Why are these people coming? Nobody wants to leave their homeland and be received with aggression in some other place where you're not wanted. The refugees of my book were very lucky because they arrived in Chile and there was a crowd at the port to receive them with open arms. That's very unusual. But in Chile, there was also a narrative about these refugees, a narrative of the right-wing parties and the Catholic Church. That is exactly what we hear today. Same words, same rhetoric. So it's very interesting to see how this repeats itself. Well, it's what the Nazis did with the Jews. It's amazing how when we portray other people as the other, they become the demon, the enemy, and anything can be done to them.
My guest is Isabel Allende. The name of her new book is A Long Petal of the Sea. So we talked about Victor. Rosette is the other protagonist in the book. It's Victor's future wife. She was actually the love of his brother who went missing in the war. She was left pregnant. She is so strong in this book, and she just survives incredible trauma. What makes her so resilient?
The war. And the fact that in extreme circumstances, we bring out of ourselves strength and resilience that we didn't know we had. I've seen this over and over. I don't invent these characters. Mm. I have human models, women I have known and I know today that are survivors of atrocities, of great trauma. They have lost everything, including their children, and they get back on their feet, and some of them become leaders in their communities. So they become another person in a way, a person they didn't know they had inside.
So there's another woman in this book who is sometimes compared and contrasted to Rosaire. She's Ophelia. She's an upper-class Chilean woman. She has a brief affair with Victor. What perspective did you want to bring by bringing these two very different kind of women into this story?
I wanted to show the social classes in mm-hmm. Chile. Chile was, especially at that time, defined by a system of class, almost similar to what happens in England, you know. It's weird. And these immigrants come, Rosette and Victor, and they are not inserted in a social class yet because they are foreigners. But then they can see how the society is divided like a cake of many layers. And Ophelia represents the upper layer.
As I mentioned in the intro, they escaped to Chile, Rosaire and Victor, on a boat. It was the SSS Winnipeg. It was chartered by someone who I think most Americans think of as a poet.
And he who was is a poet. Poet.
As only, yeah. I should say, as only a poet, as just a poet, yeah. And don't know what is a really interesting history. How did Pablo Neruda, wind up in charge of helping refugees?
Well, because Pablo Neruda loved Spain, and he had many intellectuals and writers, friends in Spain, in the Republica side. And during the Civil War, he was aware of what was going on. When the war ended and these half a million refugees walked to the border with France, he was appalled because among them were many of his friends. So he convinced the government of Chile to receive some refugees. And this took some time because as I said, there was a public opinion against the migrants. And Pablo Neruda was finally sent to Spain with instructions, very precise instructions, to bring these people, 2,000 people, but they didn't give him any money. So he not only got the idea, convinced the government, went to Paris, got the money, fundraised for the money, bought the ship, the Winnipeg, which was a dilapidated cargo ship, and conditioned it to transport passengers across two oceans and bring them to Chile. So the whole adventure of the Winnipeg and those refugees would have never been possible without Pablo Neruda.
And I think our listeners, if you, it's fascinating. You can go down a Google rabbit hole.
I know. Yeah, because all the historical facts are true. I didn't need to make up anything. I mean, the story stands by itself.
When did you first learn of that story of the SS Winnipeg?
When I was a child. Mm-hmm. I was born in 1942, and this happened in 1939. And some of those Spanish refugees were friends of my family. Mm-hmm. So I saw them when I was a child, some of them. But I wasn't really aware of the story until much later, in 1976 in Venezuela, when I heard Victor Pei tell his story.
My guest is Isabel Allende. The name of her new novel is A Long Petal of the Sea. So we've talked about Victor and Rosera, this couple, they're thrown together. They survive the war in Spain. They escape dictatorship, only to encounter a similar course of events that plays out in Chile under the rise of Pinochet. How do you see these two events as connected?
They are connected because people don't change much. Mm. We as humans, we keep committing the same mistakes. We learn. In my lifetime, I'm 77 years old, I have seen the world change dramatically. And we have evolved. No past time was better than now. We think that now it's a very dark time. Maybe so, but it was darker before. And it will be lighter in the future. I'm convinced of that. But we keep repeating the mistakes. The fact, for example, that today we have exactly the same wording referring to migrants as they did in Nazi time or in the Civil War or in Chile 80 years ago. It's interesting, isn't it? We don't change that much.
In his time in Chile, Victor becomes close to the president of Chile, Salvador Allende. Now, I've read all over that you are related to Salvador Allende. Is this accurate?
Yeah, but loosely, because he was a cousin of my father. And the truth is that I never met my father. My father abandoned the family when I wasn't even 3 years old yet. So I don't have any memories of him. But the only person of the Allende family that remained in touch with my mother and with us was Salvador Allende, his wife, Hortensia, and his kids, his three daughters.
Isabel, I think for your fans, they know the story, but for those who don't, that you had to flee yourself after the coup in 1973 that resulted in the death of Allende and the dictatorship of Pinochet. You sought refuge in Venezuela, as you mentioned earlier. What elements of your personal experience did you use that ended up in this novel?
Displacement. The fact that I have started from scratch a couple of times, several times, that I have left wherever place I was comfortable and I thought it was my home. I have had to leave everything behind with the idea that I would come back. And then you don't come back. I mean, in my case, it's always goodbye forever. And you lose friends and home and jobs and a sense of belonging. And you start again in another place. And then when you think it's okay, then it's time to leave again. And that sense of displacement is what I find touching for in my own life. And I can really understand how people who experience that feel, especially when they are forced out of their country by circumstances that are not going to change that much. For example, the refugees that we get from Central America, they will keep coming. Because unless things change really in their places of origin, They will have to get out. Why do we have Syrian refugees that we never had before? Well, because of the circumstances in Syria. They have calculated that the time a refugee spends away from their place of origin is between 17 and 25 years. That means that their children and grandchildren will not come back with them in case they return. So, and they will not find the country they left. They will have no friends, nobody there. And this is what happened to Victor Pey, my friend, when he returned to Spain after Franco's death. And this is what happens to the protagonists in my book when they go back to Spain. They don't belong there anymore. Mm.
In order to write this book, you need to describe what it was like as a front on the Civil War in hospitals, what it's like to see somebody wounded in refugee camps. Where do you begin the research process for a novel like this?
There is a lot of documentation about this. It's very recent history. Mm-hmm. And today in Spain, for example, I was in the radio many times promoting the book, and we would have people calling in.
Wow.
And I would say that at least 90% of the people who called in had parents or grandparents that had been victims of the war or had become refugees, including some of them refugees in Chile. So it's a very present history. They say that in Spain today, 70 books, an average of 70 books are published yearly about the Civil War. So the research was really easy. There is photography, film, all kinds of documentation.
What was one of those first-person stories you heard that had an element that you had never heard before, or something about all of these historical events that you didn't know?
Well, I didn't know much of the details of the Civil War. Mm. I knew what had happened. But then I started researching, and I followed the battles, the most important battles, and how those battles were. They still use mules and horses. Mm. And questions that I have, for example, what do you do with the wounded animals or the dead animals? How do you amputate without anesthesia? All that kind of question leads to more and more depth in the research. And that gives me so much material for the book that really I just have to type.
I think you do a little more than just type.
Really, I'm telling you. I had Victor Pey. I had his story. I had the characters. And then if there's all this incredible documentation, type is what I did.
My guest has been Isabel Allende. The name of the book is A Long Petal of the Sea. Isabel will be speaking tonight at the 92nd Street Y. Isabel Allende, it was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Allison.
This is All of It.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.